Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It was 15 years ago this past week that I preached my first sermon to you here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church as your newly called shepherd. Also on John chapter 10 about the Good Shepherd. And ever since, it has been my greatest desire and aim never to make the sermon or anything in the church about me, but always and only about Christ, the Good Shepherd. How is Christ a Good Shepherd? Well, he's a Good Shepherd in many ways. He cares for the sheep and for the lambs, for each and every baptized believer in his holy Christian church who has been brought into his own body with him as the head. He also feeds his sheep, feeds us with his word and sacrament, forgives us our sins, strengthens our faith, and guards us from that easy slide into unbelief, into viewing life as the rest of the world views it, from an earthly perspective instead of a heavenly one. He also leads his sheep, leads us and guides us by his Spirit and by his Word, teaching us so that we know right and wrong and learn to choose the right and to avoid the wrong as he empowers and encourages us by his Holy Spirit. And like a shepherd, the Good Shepherd goes searching for the lost sheep, for the ones who stray from his word and sacrament and blunder into sin and impenitence, sending out his ministers to find them, accompanying them as they do, and then rejoicing when the lost are found and returned to his flock. These are tender, sweet images of Jesus, our Good Shepherd. The image in today's gospel includes that, but it's also a bloodier image. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Christ laid down his life for us, suffered for us, was bloodied for us, died for us, stood between the wolf and the sheep and allowed himself to be devoured so that we might live. Why? Or who or what? Or was the wolf that was out to get the sheep ready to pounce on us? Well, the wolf is here a symbol of danger. We were in danger because of our sins against God, because of our own selfishness, our own disobedience to God's commandments, our misplaced trust in ourselves, our idolatry, our pride. Our sins meant death for us. They're the reason why we die in the first place. Not because man was made to die, but because of our sins. And they're the reason why we suffer every evil in this world, every misfortune that people suffer. And our sins gave the devil power over us too, power to accuse us before God and to drag us away to hell. In the end, God's own righteous anger over our sins is what would have allowed the devil to have us and death to take us and hell to torment us forever. But then the Good Shepherd intervened by God the Father's own will and design to suffer the death we had earned for ourselves in order to share his righteousness and his life with us, in order to shepherd us here on earth and there in the life that awaits after this life. He laid down his life knowing that it would be enough to save anyone and everyone who believes in him, who takes refuge in him, who claims him and him alone before God as the reason why He should forgive us and accept us and welcome us into eternal life. Not because we're such good people, but only because of Christ and His works for us. Now, in this gospel from John chapter 10, Jesus also contrasts Himself with the hireling, who is unwilling to suffer for the sheep. The hireling is the one who's in it for himself, tending the sheep in order to get paid. If it's a question of him suffering or the sheep suffering, he chooses the sheep suffering so that he doesn't have to. He'll run away when the danger approaches. So any number of men who called themselves prophets in the Old Testament preached what the people of Israel wanted to hear in order to build themselves up and keep themselves safe. Those prophets who told them what they needed to hear, the earnest warnings from God to repent and to believe in Him, they were usually hated and rejected. So few were willing to suffer in that way. Even the Apostle Peter once fell into that trap. Instead of standing up against the men who came to Antioch from Jerusalem, trying to force the Christians there to live not according to God's word any longer, but according to human traditions and beliefs, Peter, seeking to avoid conflict and shame for himself, gave in to the human traditions being imposed by those men until the Apostle Paul stood up and warned him and the other believers there and turned their eyes back to Christ, who was crucified so that we might be free from the slavery of sin and from the slavery of trying to save ourselves by our own works and from the slavery of man-made traditions, as if man had the right to regulate the things that God had left free. In today's epistle, that same Apostle Peter, having been restored to the truth of Christ and the freedom of the gospel, calls on the Christians, on all Christians, to imitate Christ, specifically in doing good and in being willing to suffer for doing good. To this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. We can't follow in the steps of Christ in suffering for sins. His suffering for sins was the only payment for sins, the only atonement for sins that God accepts. We can't pay for anyone's sins before God, including our own. But still, St. Peter calls on us all in today's epistle to follow the example of Christ in suffering patiently, suffering willingly, suffering for doing good. No deceit was found in His mouth, and so, as His people, no deceit should be found in your mouth either. No twisting of the truth, no hiding of the truth. Oh, and you could avoid much suffering in this world if you would just allow deceit to come out of your mouth. Or if you just remain silent when you know it would help your neighbor more for you to speak. It's tempting to be quiet, tempting to go along with the crowd, tempting to avoid having to suffer. But if you would be sheep who follow the Good Shepherd, then you must follow Him in this way too. Is He worth following? Is He worth suffering for? What does Peter say about Him? He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, should live for righteousness. By His wounds you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but you have now been brought back to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So yes, the Good Shepherd is worth following, worth suffering for, precisely because He is good, because he laid down his life for us and gives us healing by his wounds, the healing of that forgiveness of sins, peace with God, the adoption of sons, and the gift of eternal life that he gives to all who believe in him. That's what a good shepherd does. Somewhat ironically, given recent events, the word that St. Peter uses here in the epistle, overseer, is the exact same word that's also translated bishop. Christ is your true shepherd and your true overseer or bishop, and nothing can change that. But he himself has appointed shepherds and overseers in his church to shepherd and to oversee on his behalf. Your shepherd, your overseer under Christ, is the one whom you called to be just that 15 years ago in the name of Christ to do this task, your pastor and your shepherd. And he is still called to do it after the example of Christ in word and deed and in suffering, called to do it not as Lord of all but as servant of all, not as one who can demand obedience to his own word, but one who always points you to God's word, not as a hireling, but as one who cares for the sheep entrusted to his care with all the love and compassion of Christ. Now, who is up to that task? We've all been given the task to follow Christ as sheep or as a pastor. Who is up to it? None of us on our own. But as Christ feeds and strengthens us by his word and sacrament, as he leads and guards us by his Spirit and by his word, he will make us up to the task of living as his sheep in his fold until he brings us safely into his heavenly pastures. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.